Hello and welcome to Nerd Stuff, the C Sport Media Group podcast show, weekly show where nerds talk about nerds. Good morning. It's the morning time. How are you, friends? I'm with a couple of friends as well here to talk about some stuff. Red.
Hello.
How are you, friend?
I'm fine. I'm nursing my foot.
Yes. How long has your foot been injured?
Like 2 weeks now, because the first week I injured it, then another week because I re-injured the same foot.
Very, that sounds so, yeah. Lovely. Have you ever had that happen before?
No. What happened was I sprained my left ankle, then I sprained my right ankle after a week.
Oh. Literally no feet.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
remember that thing.
You know who would know about feet is feetball person, Scrawn.
Hey. Hi, Scrawn.
Hey, guys. Feetball?
You use both feet.
But you only kick it with one.
But you use two throughout the game.
Yeah, you can't be like a one-legged footballer.
Okay, but maybe you can. You know, let's not discriminate here, friend.
Okay, all right.
One-legged football player. How have you been, okay. Scrawn?
Great.
What is that?
I hear a bit of echo.
That's definitely not on me, though. I don't hear...
I don't know. I'm using the ATR.
The ATR? Maybe you're hearing yourself.
I don't think so.
Well, I can hear him. I can hear his echo, too.
Yeah, his echo.
No echo on me. The recording doesn't hear the echo.
Okay, that's fine if there's no echo in the recording.
Yeah. Yeah, great. This is kind of weird because Ron is in the studio right now and Ren and I are at our houses. So Ron is using actually my mic to record this. It's very
yeah,
because
both of you are decommissioned.
Yes.
You're in quarantine and the other one is, you're internally injured and the other one is externally injured.
Yes. Okay, so what's worse? What's worse, like being sick or having like a broken bone?
Like broken bone is
yeah.
way
worse. Yeah, because, you know, being sick, you could just lie down, take mm-hmm. some water, just sleep it off. Mm-hmm. But if you have broken bones, you really need the time to heal it, right? So
yeah.
When you're sick, you can still function normally, it's just that on a less efficient rate.
Mm-hmm.
When you have something up on you that's broken, it basically really gimps you. So, for example, if you have one arm broken, then it's like, how am I going to work? Or if you have like your leg broken, it's going to really, really torture you going around.
Have you all had your wisdom teeth yet, guys?
Yeah.
You remember how painful that is?
Yeah, but mine grew out fine.
Okay. How lucky?
I have no memories of having a wisdom tooth.
Probably not.
Or something.
Because it's so...
Mine didn't need to be pulled out.
When was the time that your wisdom tooth...
Years ago?
Yeah.
I felt the pain of it growing. It's just that it didn't really become impacted or anything, like mm-hmm. those like weird angle
mm-hmm.
quotes.
How about you and Dex?
Oh, it was in college, like last year of college. It was so tender, you know, you could just like touch it. Like at the back of your, like you have your molars, right? And at the back of your molars, it's like tender. So painful if you touch it. It didn't need to be extracted, but so painful. Oh, my brain. I remember everything. Speaking of pain, how about our Dota 2 news, huh, Nigma?
I'm sorry for your loss, Scrawn.
So last night, Nigma went up against Alliance in the minor qualifier finals, and winner would go on to the minor to play in the minor and possibly play in the major. So they played Alliance in the best of five. It went five games, and Nygma looked like it looked like they were gonna win, but the double rapier from Nico Baby, Alliance.
Yeah.
They ratted their way. They manned up and just started hitting towers when Nygma lost that team fight.
And that's how you win Dota.
That's how you win, and that's so it's Dota. They basically plowed their way through Liquid with two rapiers. The lineup didn't really help with Liquid. They had a Void Spirit on mid. They had a Medusa on for the other team for Alliance. So, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's weird not seeing Nygma on the majors. But I'm confident they'll make it through TI.
Isn't this a sign of something's not working?
Oh, definitely. Definitely not something not working. I mean, they need to really adjust it. While they did make it far with their lineup on TI, it possibly be just their strats or their way of doing things just not working with this new patch.
Who's going?
Oh, we're talking about kicks? I mean, I guess by this time, maybe just one of the players is just really not adapting well to the patch.
And who is it?
I can't make that much of assessment yet for the whole team. I haven't watched all their games to make a proper assessment, so it's too early to tell for me. Like, I haven't watched all their games.
But who is it going to be? Like, there has to be some change. I don't know who is it going to be. Who's more likely? Okay, so definitely not Kurong. It's his team.
Oh, we're doing the process of elimination?
Yes.
I mean, you can technically have Kuro as a coach.
Oh, wow.
Does he want to?
Yeah, that's the problem is, does he want to? He's too competitive. From all his interviews that I've watched, he always says that he's too competitive. Like, he really wants to.
Even going back to True Sight, like, the last scene was Kuro saying that he needs to, like, win TI two or three times by now. I don't know why. Maybe that's his goal, like, be the only two-time or three-time winner of TI, then he wants to retire, so.
I think he still wants to play. Otherwise,
he
would
still
just
really just wants to play. He just wants to compete.
So, no Kuro, Kuro's is, like, untouchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about Miracle? I think Miracle could, like,
He's definitely declined. Hasn't he?
He's no longer the showy era.
He's not the Miracle that we know.
He's not mid anymore, so he doesn't have those chances to make the flashy plays.
Right. Yeah.
So I think maybe Miracle.
Yeah. How about MC?
MC, oof. MC's just not the same anymore, man.
Yeah.
MC is inconsistent, actually.
He was the consistent offlaner when, like, back in TI.
Yeah.
Was consistent back then. I don't know what happened. Maybe he's the guy who's, like, having problems adjusting to the patch.
Probably.
What do you think, Skran? How's MC?
Again, I said it's a bit inconsistent plays. Like, it helps, I guess, that there's so much pressure for offlaners now to make a play.
What now? Who else? GH?
Yeah, GH. GH is okay, I guess.
GH is still fine.
Yeah. And Weeha.
Oh, yes. Now we get to the main point.
We have. If okay. you, I mean, I love the guy, but if you look at all the parts of Liquid, he's the most
out of place, right?
Out of place, yes.
Oh, we're back. Weeha. Yeah. Weeha is dead. Sorry, I had to check some audio things. So yes, Weeha. Isn't he most likely to just go? Isn't he like 80% gonna go?
Probably, but what will you get now out of the pool of available players?
Okay, who is even free? And like that's another thing too. Is Enigma in a position to, you know, better themselves by changing some players?
I mean, if you can find like a gem like Chadson.
Oh, that's tough. That's really hard.
But is he fit for Liquid?
No, I mean if you find a gem like him, like if you, I mean if you find a rookie, I mean, basically Topson yet, right? was a nobody, was a pub star.
So you're asking them to just get lucky.
The pub star as well, then that may be, it's a risk though.
How about Gorp? He signed with OG, lol.
Debated, by the way.
Gorp is okay. Not exactly what I'd look for in a mid for Enigma.
Yeah, I think Miracle could probably try and go back mid.
Probably. They could, I guess, higher chance for them to find Ikari available.
Yeah, no, it's a lot easier.
But who's available right now?
Please take Rezo out of VP. Oh my god. Let him play the carry.
That, they could get resolution actually.
That's true.
I can't think of anybody. Mushi, Krappa.
Mushi's with IO.
I know. He's playing 5. I don't know, man. I don't think Enigma have to make changes, but I don't think they're in a position to make changes.
It's either just stick through it out, you know, stick through, you know, like all the bad times, I guess.
They obviously can't get like Matu or anything.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah, it's on secret now.
Yeah, he's much happier.
Yes. So Matamba Man did the right thing, I guess.
Matamba Man was right. It's like the Kuro Arteezy thing.
Oh no.
Except it's Kuro Matamba Man.
Yeah.
No, I think it's what happened is they kicked Matu because everyone knew how they play now. But the game was still the same then. If they only kept Matu, if they knew that the game was going to be changed severely, then they could have kept Matu.
So the thing is, right, with Matu, even in that iteration of Liquid, in its, you know, in its dying days, they were, you know, it's not the best right now, right?
Consistent, like, third, fourth.
I mean, they got eliminated, like, 8th, I remember. 8th to 6th or something like that. And even then, their results were already declining. And then when they lost Matu...
In the majors, they were always present, like, third, fourth.
They just really weren't winning. Decline.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have remembered it differently.
No, in TI, they placed like 6th or 6th to 8th.
Okay. I think that's what I remember. So, yeah. You think changes are going to come? We know changes should come, but are they going to come?
I'm not sure.
I guess.
I don't know. I think this is just really about. I don't think it's there's that much reason for us to dive deep on it. Yeah, I mean, what happens to them happens, and I think there's not that much room as well for us to speculate within the players because there's really not that many available players as well.
Red.
I guess, but. Because I clearly want to see something change in Enigma, because they're not really doing well. So if it's a roster change, because by now they should have adjusted to the patch.
So, that's what they keep saying, right? They're still adjusting.
like when will you adjust, when it's the international or would if there's another major match?
I don't know. I don't think it's we need to concern ourselves that much. I mean, of course, it's Enigma is a high caliber team supposedly, but so are LGD, which is they got kicked out by AXX Stack, which is the first female player to make it to close qualifier.
So that's another thing too. We didn't really write it down.
There's a LGD. Lot. There's a lot of. It's not just Enigma. It's happening to a lot of teams, even VP.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an isolated case. Mm. Is what I'm trying to say.
It's kind of just hard, that, you know.
The spotlight is on Enigma because it's a new team, a new org, and they're all TI winners.
Exactly.
Well except just, for Weha.
That's how frustrated I am for Enigma because they are like very successful before. They won TI. They almost won TI. They went to the grand finals. But the decline was so rapid and so, you know, so fast that it's very concerning.
Mm.
Again, you could say the same for LGD. They're a big ticket team, 2 second places, and look who kicked them out. A no-name Stack.
Mm.
Twice. They got kicked out by a no-name Stack twice.
I'm not concerned about China because China's really like so cutthroat that you really can't rely on the big name teams to deliver every time because there's another team, another big team or another unknown team that could like beat them. That's how competitive China is.
We also have to look at what happened in the first time that they lost in Opens. They lost best of one in the because the patch came out the same day. And then on the second one, they lost Ame. So that's a big roster shakeup. So I think LGD are going to be better than this. They're not going to be an open qualifier team. You know, nobody thinks that. At least, like, maybe close qualifier or minor competitor. That's the minimum. But, you know, an open qualifier team is that's not them. These players are too good.
Yeah, again, they're that's what I'm saying. They're getting beat at open qualifier phase.
I mean,
I understand China is cutthroat, but to beat one of the top orgs at an open qualifier, and definitely there's something wrong. Even VP is getting beat in the CIS region.
And
they're also a top org.
And that's how
we. And even on our region, TNC major champions is getting beat.
Yeah,
they lost. So, they didn't even win a series in the minor qualifiers.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
Is it the roster or the patch? It's now the question.
What are the recent things that have been added? They added Granny Cookie and Void Spirit.
It's also one of the things that Run continuously says about TNCs. Is when they're hot, they're hot. When they're cold, they're real cold.
Yeah.
So they're consistent with that kind of...
Yeah, they're consistently inconsistent. Like, they can win majors and they can go out in minor qualifiers. You know, that's a duality of man.
They're also already qualified on the TI, just by math.
Yeah, maths.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
They're shoo-in already.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not really as concerned for TNC as I am right now. Because they're not really, you know, they're not grinding. They're not fighting for a spot. They're in TI already. So it's less concerning for me. But because they can figure it out by TI. You know, they can just like boot camp and go. You know, they can figure it out all in one go.
Mm.
But what about you guys? What do you feel about TNC as a qualified team for TI? Do they still need to dominate the majors? Do you feel like that's still, you know, they should set out to do that? Or should they just like hang in there and just wait for TI?
We have interviewed before, like teams, like Secret and everything before, and I've always asked them if, for example, when the majors was introduced before, and they were always like, yeah, we need to keep competing, we need to always give it our best, because this is basically free scrim. They get to see what works, they get to see what some strats that doesn't work. And eventually patches will roll out, changes will be made. The game today will not be the same when it comes to TI.
Yeah. What about you, Red? What do you think?
I don't know anymore. It's just, it's hard to gauge, you know.
Yeah.
We're not inside the team, so we wouldn't know their challenges.
Mm-hmm.
What we can see is the outside, like clearly someone is not performing well in the patch.
Mm-hmm.
So you could blame it in the patch or you could blame it in the player. But I really need the team to find out, like, quickly what's the problem so they could address it. Because if they're still, like, hoping to iron things out on the fly, it's gonna be hard, really hard. Mm-hmm. It's better to, you know, address your concerns now than struggle in the end. That's it.
Well, so TNC is pretty, you know, they're setting out this minor major cycle. This what was it? Is ESLLA, and I think I forget the minor. Shit. Oh, I forgot the minor. But you know who? I didn't write it in.
No, minor is still incoming. Minor is still ongoing.
The qualifiers, right? There's still a China qualifier that needs to be played.
Yeah, so we can talk about the whole minor next week.
Yeah, we can talk about minors next week. But I wanted to shout out, I didn't write it down on the agenda that I wrote down, but the SEA representative for the major, GeekFam.
Yeah, Adroit and GeekFam.
Is it GeekFam? Is it Adroit?
GeekFam.
It's GeekFam.
GeekFam is speakers.
How many? Well, it's Fnatic, GeekFam, and Android.
Yeah.
But I wanted to focus on GeekFam, cause, bruh, GeekFam, they've been competing, right?
Mm.
They've been in there. They've been constantly in there, and they're kind of already, they're here. They've arrived. It's Carl Cuckoo Raven. If you look
White
at
Moon.
That,
let's go.
White Moon. White Moon performs really well.
But it's Raven. This guy's my favorite carry. One of my favorite carries, because he's world class and he's Filipino. He's also like 5'2". Oh man,
that guy is became one of the best carries when he was still in TNC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's still the best carry in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, me too. So, me too, fam.
Even surprised.
Yeah,
and Cuckoo, you know. Cuckoo always find a way to win, you know? I don't know how.
Mm.
Maybe he's just lucky like that.
I think his aggressiveness gets him. Like, you know when you're, like, getting pressured and your fight or flight reaction?
Response, yeah.
Yeah. He just decides, like, okay, I'm going to fight. Okay, I'm going to go out. His decision-making is so fast, and he commits.
Mm. Mm. And no hesitation.
Yes. Right? Yes, he just goes.
Baller. It's just a baller.
Yeah. I miss that old TNT squad, man. That TNT squad was so good.
Yeah. Even if, you know, if they fail the clash, you know they will dive together.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the Raven, Cuckoo, SMH, Tims. Oh, yeah. That's such a good lineup. All right.
Good times, man.
Scrawn, you excited for GeekFam? Which one are you most excited for? Adroit's also in there.
Android is really good as well. So I'm excited to see how they're going to make it. Because these are, some of them are, I think, former Clutch Gamer.
Okay, I'm going to find out who's in Android.
There's Bok.
Bok.
Boombox.
Oh, this is a...
Boombox. Oh. Yeah, I told you. It's former Clutch Gamers.
Yeah, these are, you know, the tier 2 players. Like the border tier 1 players in the Philippines, and some of them are just like, I don't know who these are.
Yeah.
But
they're Former clutch gamers, some of them. So yeah, that's something. They really have a lot of experience.
Yeah. All right. So, ending on the Dota 2 stuff, we go to more esports stuff, but this time it's a bit more general. You know, Scrawn linked an article. I think it was an article that saying that Pokimane, the most famous lady Twitch streamer, has donated $50,000 to the UCI. I don't know what UCI is, Ron.
University of California, Irvine?
Okay, great.
Hey, Irvine.
Actually knows it. For esports scholarships. Whew. Esports scholarships, friends. I don't know how you feel about esports scholarships. I think there is a space for it, but to be a collegiate scholarship? I'm not sure.
There's already a lot of... because I've done my research since I'm trying to get into the educational side here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already a lot in the U.S. Most of them are esports management. And most are... really on the back end side of esports, which is nice. It's not just about being streamers, it's not just about being players. Well, there's the most team, most schools have their own esports teams.
Mm-hmm.
Then what better way for your students to have hands-on experience to handle the esports teams as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we should look at this the same vein as a sports scholarship, right? Because
it's really, really, some are really business schools.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the reason why you give a student an esports scholarship is so they can learn. You know, it's not because you're giving them a basketball scholarship. You're not expected to make it to the NBA. It's just a plus that you're talented. You know, that you can get an education. You know, you use your esports as education. Am I completely missing the point, or
these are not gaming, these are management, production, broadcasting.
I see. So it's a lot like I don't know.
They do have esports teams, but the degree that they are offering, so they have two. They have the varsity, which basically is an esports team, like the basketball side, NCAA or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then they also have a degree, which is esports management.
Oh shit. Because we have in my college we have a course called communication and media studies. I think it's a lot like that. What they do is just like they do TV stuff, they do radio stuff, they do internet production stuff. So I think it's a lot closer to that.
Yeah, like I saw the curriculum, most of it, like looking at different schools' curriculum, like the credits are basically, the credits are there, how many R's and everything. And they have like for how to pitch to sponsors and everything, like business documents, everything from event management from different scales, broadcasting. So it's really a degree.
That's kind of that. I don't know if that's appealing though. But the skills you will get from that that course, you know, the entire curriculum, you get business, you get production, so you get a wide array of skills. But when you're like a company and you say like I have a degree in esports, that doesn't sound really appealing.
Yeah, you should.
Esports management. I mean. There's so many leagues that you can, especially in the U.S., I understand why they're there. You could practically intern at OWL. You could practically intern at different games that want to do esports. You can intern at Ubisoft because they're doing R6. Almost every gaming company, the AAA ones, have their own esports.
What if you tie up the course to another degree, like a media degree, right?
I mean, in itself, I think it is a media degree, right?
Exactly. So it would be more like appealing to non-esports companies, right?
Mm-hmm. No, this is already existing. This is like 4 years old already. Esports, the Bachelor of Science in Esports Management.
Mm. I mean,
so it's already set in stone. The curriculum is there. There's like 10, last I checked, 10 or more schools already offering it in US.
I mean, what opportunities are there for you if you have that course for like applying in the non-esports companies?
Okay, so what's...
So the thing is, why would you apply to a non-esports company if you're getting an esports management degree?
Know.
This basically saying
that...
In
the Philippine context, you know, brain...
In the Philippine context, that's why we don't have it here yet.
Hmm.
Because if you have... For example, if I graduated IT, why would I want to be something that's not IT?
You can't be can't be choosing here, so maybe that's why I'm skeptical.
I guess I see what Red means too, because you can also apply this to, you know, more traditional means, mm-hmm. right? You could apply to a TV company because you have the skills for it, right?
Yeah,
you have the skills for it.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to box yourself in to esports. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that it's there is a demand for it in the US since. Mm. One of the top universities of the U.S. is actually offering it as a degree.
Mm. And it's kind of nice, too, in the U.S. because we think about the big prominent esports in the U.S. It's League of Legends and Overwatch. Unfortunate that it's actually Overwatch. Mm. And also COD. You're right. COD as well. And these esports have traditional formats, like traditional sports formats. They have leagues and stuff. And that's a plus because it's a consistent job. You know, we look at Dota 2 and we look at StarCraft. Those events are it's scarce, right? You don't know when you're going to get paid. And when you don't have an event, you're dead. But if you're doing league, it's a long-running league. And you get consistent pay, which is more safe. For, you know, jobs, as far as jobs go. What y'all think?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think that's why it's being offered there. And it's also, I think, schools here right now in Philippines and even Informatics Singapore is offering it now.
Mm.
As a certificate, not a degree, but a certificate. For Malaysia, they have something for esports as well in their APU. Of Asia Pacific University,
mm-hmm.
and for Philippines, a lot of schools are already trying to talk into getting into esports.
What do you think about this, Greg? Top it off. Top this topic off.
I mean, I could see it in other countries, but like I'm not gonna like be optimistic when it comes to our country.
Mm-hmm. So you're just being realistic to us, but for them, it's fine.
Yeah. But pragmatic-wise, it's not going to work like right away here.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to work right away here, but you got to start it. You got to have a pioneer.
Yeah.
You got to have a pioneer that starts us off, that makes it a legit a course and a degree for it to have a legit industry. I mean, it already has a legit industry. Then how do you... prosper that industry by making more students, making more workers for it.
Yeah, but the tuition fee would be around 80 to 70K, right?
I mean, it's, the ones that are talking right now is like Lyceum and LaSalle.
Oh my god, that's 100. Easy 100K, baby!
Yeah. Alright, so... Time to move on. I think overall we agree that this is a plus for the industry.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Progressive, yeah, but pragmatic wise, it's gonna be a hard battle, you know.
Yes. Very.
I don't think my mentor before said this to me. Like, I don't think anything worth it will come easy.
Oh, that's like a Marvel quote.
Like, if you really want to work at something, it'll never be easy. So, I for those that are pushing for this, like, even I am trying to push for it. But it's not easy. Because schools will reply to you like 1-2 months. It's not. So it's a really slow push.
Yes.
Because what I'm always told is these schools are businesses. So you have to, the school has to have to earn, and the students has to have a place to go after.
All right, cool. So, you know what's the course is pretty niche. You know, esports. You know, it's also niche. Solo making a game. So Stardew Valley's creator. I really tried with that one. he said he's making a couple of games, and I know Red's a big fan. He's been playing Stardew Valley nonstop for like 3 days now.
A week.
A week.
Yeah, thank my sprain for that.
Yes. Yeah, he's playing a lot of Stardew Valley, and we got some Concerned Ape, the creator of Stardew Valley. Concerned Ape news. He's making a couple of new games as well. I think he revealed. Remember this game in the direct, Red, that I sent you? That was from Concerned Ape as well.
It was nice. Yeah.
It was nice, right? Mm-hmm. Now he says he's actually working on a couple of new projects. One takes place in the world of Stardew Valley, but it's not a farming game. The other, I'm not 100% sure about the world yet, but it will tie into Stardew Valley in some way.
Oh, yeah. Stardew Cinematic Universe. Let's go!
Oh, cinematic.
Gaming Universe. SGU.
SGU. SGA. Shay Gilbert Alexander. Love that guy. All right.
NBA reference. Let's go.
Of course. So, if this was connected to Stardew Valley, would you buy it?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll wait for the gameplay.
See, I'm with Ron with this one, but.
That's true. Maybe I don't like the gameplay.
Yeah, maybe it's like a turn-based.
Turn-based is okay.
Turn-based monsters. Platformer, man. Fighting. Literally Pokemon.
And Temtem.
And Temtem. So yeah.
Turn-based farmers fighting.
Ho-ho!
Fighting farmers.
What? Oh my god. How would they fight? Like, they use the watering cans?
Yes, they use the rakes.
Use water can. Super effective.
Did you see that that picture of the Pokemon trainer? And then he's like, oh, and he has his golem. He has her golem behind her. They were like walking in the house, and then the mom says, time to eat. And then the girl washes her hands like this. And then he makes bubbles. Look, golem. He blows a bubble, and then the bubble hits the golem, and the golem dies.
It's bubble beam.
It's a bubble beam. And then the golem died. They were at the funeral in the next panel. It was great. So yeah, Stardew Valley. I know it's a big time sucker. Red, what do you like about Stardew Valley?
It's stress free. The only opponent you have is yourself with time management.
Yes.
No, you have the bats and the. No. I mean, Jonas would know all about it.
Do you know that the patch addresses that? You don't lose levels anymore.
For what?
Oh, Jonas is happy.
Oh yes, let's go. Why did they put that in there? That's so dumb, actually.
Maybe you DM Concerned Ape. I don't know.
I'm not gonna say that I did, but I may have lost a lot of money.
Yeah, but you can
for the bribes.
You would still lose. Oh, you bribe him because you would still lose some items and the money, but you won't lose the levels anymore if you faint in the caves.
Okay.
So there's really a lot of new content in Stardew Valley right now, so I really urge you to try to play.
It's too bad that we bought Torchlight.
Oh no, yeah, you're right. That would break my Stardew Valley streak.
Ron, you wanna buy Torchlight, friend? It's $13 right now.
Dude. Okay, let's go back to playing Tree of Savior.
Please, no. It's a little slow. The problem I had with Tree of Savior was I was lagging really badly.
Oh, shit.
Well, not now, I guess. That was before.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I won't get turned off by Tree of Savior anymore. But I think it's coming to the mobile, and maybe I'll play that.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I'm cool with that. All right, friends. I think that's it. That's it for the show. Pretty okay, lengthwise. That's what
The
she
end
said.
show.
That's what she said.
Oh,
Pretty okay lengthwise.
happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy post-Valentine's Day, friends. This is the day where you drink and be sad about your no
It's still
Valentine's Day.
single, it's
Valentine's.
single
It's still
awareness day.
Valentine's in the
US.
US.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are
And
we
for NBA
talking? What?
fans, and for NBA fans, it's All-Star weekend, so.
Oh man, I wish I had League Pass this year. Shit, I'm gonna get League Pass next year. Day
For
of.
CSGO fans, it's ESL Rio later. Hey, it's
Yes.
Asia qualifier. So by the time this podcast is up, we're probably already live. Catch Sneaky Frog, Steez,
Catch the
Jaeger,
boys.
G10, and Black and Blue.
The boys. The boys are casting today. But that's it for this episode of Nerd Stuff. Thank you so much for listening and giving us a chance for them to entertain you. This is not entertainment. This is like white noise when you're trying to sleep or when you're trying to work. But that has been it for this episode. Thank you so much. My name is Index. I am with my friends.
Hey,
Scrawn here.
Bye. This is Redron. Bye bye.
Bye bye, friends.
Bye, guys.
Thank y'all.